You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson.
Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. This week, we're talking about a really, really important topic. And we're talking about mental health, as it's Mental Health Awareness Week. We commence on the 12th of May, so on Monday. And to do that, we're joined by three absolute experts. So we're joined by Camilla Rogers of 5050, Dr. Tom Matthews of Mind, Body and Emotional Wellness, and Ian Nutt of Oxfordshire Mind. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, it's Mental Health Awareness Week. And we're going to be talking about exactly that. And we're joined by three absolute local experts who kindly spent their time to share some insight with you, the listener. So let's start by introducing our guests. Camilla, we'll start with you first, if that's okay. If people haven't heard of you or 5050, who are you and what's the business?
Hello, Ben. Thank you for having me this morning. My name's Camilla. I live locally. I'm over in Tame and I run a business called 5050. We are workplace wellbeing experts. So we partner with companies to focus our support on people who are turning up to work every day, but might be navigating difficult challenges around grief, working through their own neurodiversity, working with a number of issues that probably aren't synonymous. The problem I find often is that mental health can be synonymous with mental illness. And what we're trying to do at 5050 is really tackle that presenteeism in the workplace and those people that are kind of going through difficult times to elevate performance and help that retention piece for companies.
Amazing. No, great intro. Really look forward to talking more about that over the next hour. Next up, Dr. Tom Matthew, welcome. So for those who don't know you, like Camilla, who are you and what's your business?
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, my business is Mind, Body and Emotional Wellness. So I'm qualified as a medical doctor many moons ago and worked in the NHS as a GP for about a decade. So I saw a lot of mental health issues. And really, the business was set up really in a way to try and help people using my expertise in a slightly different way than I would as a GP, basically. So my business kind of has a couple of branches. One is sort of doing one-to-one client work. Individuals who are facing sort of whatever challenges they are at present, whether it be physical, emotional, or mental. And then also the second branch of my business is going into businesses or talking to larger groups of people and delivering sort of talks, seminars, workshops, really sort of that are educational, interactive, proactive, that are really trying to help people, a bit like Camilla said, with their mental health. I mean, yes, possibly mental illness as well, but their mental health to improve their overall well-being. And I sort of believe a little bit of knowledge is a little bit of power. And actually, as humans, we have way more control than we think we do. And we have way more power than we think we do. And sometimes it's just having the knowledge about it and then being able to implement just some simple tools that you can use yourself that can really help you basically thrive instead of just survive. So you can thrive at work rather than just that presenteeism that Camilla talked about.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, Ian, welcome.
Morning, Ben. Thanks for having us again. I'm Ian Nutt from Oxfordshire Mind, and we are part of the Federated National Charities associated to Mind as a national brand. We cover the whole of Oxfordshire and Berkshire West, which is Reading, West Berkshire, Wokingham, all of that part of the world. And we provide a whole range of services, mental health support services across both those districts, everything from supported housing for about 100 people well-being hubs in Abingdon, Oxford, Banbury, Whitney. We are in primary care networks, so in GP surgeries, offering mental health services across the vast majority of both areas. We have our free information line as well, which people can ring and access projects going across the county as well. So yeah, providing a whole realm of services and support. And we also deliver workplace wellbeing training and support packages for companies, corporates, individuals. And I'm hoping that we can mention as well a little bit, we are contracted to the County Council to provide free mental health and suicide prevention training to social value charities, organisations as well. So that's something that's available to support people in the wider community as well.
So now it's time for a song. So let's start with you, Camilla. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
One of my favourite calming tracks is Sweet Disposition, Temper Trap. So that's my choice for today.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Before that song, we've heard from our three experts around three wonderful organisations here in Oxfordshire who are helping so many. As you may or may not know, the upcoming week is Mental Health Awareness Week. And we're really, really keen to share with you, the Oxfordshire business owner, some of the things that you can do to support mental health awareness within your organisation. So Camilla, I'm really keen to start the roundtable with you in terms of, what should businesses be considering to support the mental health of their team and their people?
Okay, great question. I think there's a number of things, but let's, for the sake of a fluid conversation, we'll focus on a couple. So first off, I would say the world is pretty reactive when it comes to workplace wellbeing and mental health. So the first thing I'd be thinking about as a business owner would be, what can I do to be more proactive and preventative around supporting the people who, you know, we employ day to day? So by that, I mean not waiting for somebody to reach a point of burnout and be signed off long-term sick, not creating a culture where people aren't able to really show up authentically and be their true self and ask for help. So we call that psychological safety. And that means being able to be true to who you are and feel able to say, hey, I need some support here. I'm going through something really significant in my life. It could be to do with work. It could be a project that's really overwhelming. We all have them at times. It could be looming deadlines and, you know, a massive deal that we're working on. It could be under-resourced situations at work, but it could equally be something like, you know, going through a relationship breakdown, maybe navigating divorce, maybe working through caring for a parent or a disabled child, and just the balance being really in the wrong direction. So what I would really encourage companies to think about is, what can they do to equip managers and leaders with the skills and tools to create that psychological safety and that culture of permission independently? And that's where training and working with companies like 50/50 can really support that. But also, how can we empower the employee to own their mental health in the same way that they own their physical health? 50/50 is a play on a couple of concepts. One, that we all have physical health in the same way we all have mental health. It's the same, but it's different. But equally, we need to meet each other halfway. So the employer and the employee should meet halfway on this. So whilst there's a duty of care from the employer to create that psychological safety and to support the, you know, the stress awareness piece, you know, there's a legal requirement to do a stress assessment within the workplace in the same way there is to do a health and safety assessment. And a lot of companies don't quite realise that. And that is a legal requirement. But also to be thinking, okay, what else can we do to equip people? So the reason we have quite a huge, a really huge uptake in the work that we do with companies is because we're quite destigmatized in our approach. So we lead with coaching, we talk mental fitness, we're approachable, and we do that one-to-one stuff with people, as well as the sort of systemic piece with the organization. So they're the things I would be thinking about.
No, absolutely. And Dr. Tom, in terms of your perspective on this, of course you were a GP for 10 years, and now running your own business. Is mental health more of a problem than it has been in the past? Or is it the great work that yourself, Camilla, and Ian are doing that we're talking about it more and great initiatives like Mental Health Awareness Week? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I suspect it's a bit of both, to be honest. Certainly, life is more complex these days, and it's more about lots of sort of different expectations, of course, in life, you know, what success is. And what we need to achieve, what we need to do. There's also a lot more pitfalls in life, a lot of easier access to other things that can affect our mental health, such as drug access, you know, that sort of stuff. So I think there is that part of it. Life is more difficult, and life is more stressful in a way, in part because of the expectations you put on ourselves, and in part because of the expectations society puts on ourselves. And that can also reach into the workplace too, of course. But then there's also, yes, there is also the another side to it where and people are more open about it, which is good. We can still be even more open about it, but we are getting there, which is a really good thing. And people are more willing to discuss, willing to invest, willing to understand, and willing to improve their mental health. And of course, you know, you sort of look at the news recently, and you know about benefits, for example, you know how much money is being spent on benefits, and how actually you know such a large number of people are with their mental health, they're signed off long term sick with mental health issues, and so there is more awareness, but there still needs to be more done. And you often find this when something you know you may have experienced it in the past with, I'm sure we did, with things like neurodivergency and ADHD and that sort of stuff. You do get a bump in the number of people being diagnosed, for example. And that's partly because that is in part because people are actually open to it and going, actually, hang on, I think I might have this and this has been causing me issues and I can do something about it. And of course, again, just to go back to Villa's excellent point she began with, mental health, mental illness. So what we're also talking about is not just mental illness, we're talking about mental health because mental health affects us on a minute-by-minute basis, just as our physical health too. The two are linked. And so it's very important, even if we're talking about mental illness, we are talking about mental health, which can be therefore proactive and has far-reaching consequences beyond our mental health, into our physical, etc.
Absolutely. Ian, I know the wonderful work you do at Oxfordshire Mind. You deal with a lot of businesses across Oxfordshire. And I'm really keen to understand some of the traits of the businesses who really value mental health and really the impacts to the wider businesses. And I'm sure our other two guests would love to jump in on that as well.
Sure. Yeah, really good question. And we do see a real broad spectrum of businesses that come to us at Oxfordshire Mind. From one-man bands all the way up to, you know, multi-million-pound corporates, which is really fascinating, really interesting. And they cover a whole range of different work areas. So from manufacturing and factory work through to consultancy, banking, lawyer firms, the whole gambit. There's a hamper company that work with us at the moment. So it really does cover every area. But I think that those... And you could, there's probably two types, I think it's fair to say. There are those who have a lot of employees and therefore they're kind of really invested in what can they provide and offer and do as an employer that means that they are able to retain their staff for longer, have a happy workforce, you know, a content workforce and an open, protective, safe space at work. And I think that's absolutely right with what... Dr. Tom was saying earlier about the fact that that context for people in the workplace has shifted and changed and is getting a lot better. A lot more people are starting to become a lot more aware that they need to do that as employers in order to provide a really great work experience and workplace for people to come to work and be happy and productive and all of that sort of thing. And then there are the far smaller companies where I think they see it as almost a... something that they're able to do with that's within their gift as a smaller organization, as a smaller company, and invest in their employees at the more individual level, which we kind of see that difference between the two. But we're seeing a huge increase in awareness and understanding, and the breadth of equity around that is really interesting. So we're seeing more diverse businesses from different backgrounds and community groups becoming more aware and able and willing to engage and talk about mental health in the workplace. But the one thing I would say, so I was presenting to a business network in Banbury last week as part of our work here at Oxfordshire Mind. And we had a great turnout in the room, something like 15, 20 businesses all turned up, which in itself shows the level of awareness and willingness to come and engage around the subject area. But the one stat that came out for me that sticks in my mind is that of the total number of people that are taking sick leave in the workplace for mental health reasons, 95% of those people do not disclose to their employer that mental health was the reason for them taking sick leave. They tend to fudge it or make it up or say something else. This has come from the Deloitte report, the latest Deloitte report. And that to me is still that really striking thing. So whilst we've made huge moves towards destigmatizing mental health, if we still are saying that 95% of people do not disclose that their reason for being off is mental health, then there's still obviously a very long way to go.
No, really interesting. Camilla, I think that's a really interesting point, because I think that a couple of things Ian said there is just in terms of the levels. And I think you and I have had conversations before in terms of a lot of businesses maybe want to do the right thing, but equally some businesses, it could just be a tick box and exercise whereby an EAP for a price of coffee a month per person. So I'm really keen to understand what can businesses do on a real scale to, and what are some of the things you do with businesses to really have that ongoing support in place. But then I think my secondary question, which I'm sure the other guests will be keen to jump in on, is just about that conversation. So that stat is really scary, isn't it, in terms of 95%. How do we make it more okay to have those conversations?
Yeah.
Double-edged sword there. Sorry, Camilla.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So Deloitte, as you know, as Bisa pointed out, Deloitte do some fantastic research around this and some of the more, you know, reliable sources of information. The cost to economy is huge, and businesses are acknowledging more and more that this is something that's going to impact the ROI. Now, the biggest contributor towards mental health costs for businesses is presenteeism. So that's when you've got your people sat at their desks working, you know, from home, working from wherever they are, but they're not performing to their capacity or their potential. So they are working with stuff going on that is often related to mental health. In this particular example, we're talking purely mental health, but there are obviously other physical situations we can be in that can take our, you know, physical pain can obviously keep us in a similar situation. But I feel that this is what we need to tackle. It's not necessarily just addressing the place where people have already reached a place of mental illness and are under GP and specialist care. I feel like the big opportunity for business is to intervene early, to not just focus on awareness events and do a tick box every awareness week like this week. You know, bridging that gap between awareness and action is critical. And often it needs an external third party involvement because of some of the stats that we've seen. You know, people don't want to talk about their mental health and air their dirty laundry at, you know, within the workplace, so to speak, because they're worried about pay, performance, perception, and, you know, promotion prospects, all the P's. And it's genuine. People genuinely feel like it's difficult. And it's one of the blockers within the mental health first aid approach from my perspective as well. You know, putting in a number of mental health first aiders in an organization is great. There's a good intention there. The curriculum is fine from a standpoint of, you know, signposting effectively and understanding the need to move forward in conversations. However, just to leave people post-training and for them to navigate this on the side of their desk, outside of their core job, when they're not trained in, you know, in mental health outside of those 2 days, it's a worry. So what we're trying to do is to create a culture of change, and that permission piece to come to your second part of your question, where that psychological safety is real, where people are creating, you know, we deliver the training at 50-50 aligned with that. You know, we offer the mental health first aid program, but not alone. We do it with a wraparound coaching every quarter and other interventions, you know, in the interim, just to ensure people are integrating learning and really, you know, processing their own trauma potentially or anything that's been triggered for them, because having deep conversations when you're not fully trained is really tough. So I feel that there are things that we can do if we think a little bit about it objectively and say, this is not just something we have to tick on a compliance report. This is something that we need to do that actually shifts culture into an action space. And then I would argue that actually there's a lot of management role here as well. So you can have the best intention at top level, but actually if your managers aren't of the nature to talk beyond task and to create that space for people to be open, we are just going to see that stat increasing because there's, you know, how do you turn away from that?
Absolutely. No, really good insight. Time for another song. And Dr. Tom Matthew, it's your turn for the short straw. And then we'll continue the conversation. So what's your song choice and why have you picked it?
My song choice is The Scientist by Coldplay. One of the reasons for that is that it has a beautiful lyric in it that says, nobody told me it was easy. No one told me it would be so hard. Take me back to the start. And actually, that sort of resonates, I think, with my sort of my ethos of work about sort of going back to first principles when things get difficult. Actually, let's just go back to the start. Let's understand what's going on. Let's do some education. Let's improve your knowledge base, figure it out, and then we can move forward.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, this has been such an interesting conversation, so definitely go and listen back. We're talking all about mental health, and to do that, we're joined by Dr. Tom Matthew of Mind, Body and Emotional Wellness, Camilla Rogers of 50/50, and Ian Nutt of Octogym Mind. I'm going to come to you, Dr. Tom Matthew, if that's okay, and really keen to talk about the physical side of things. And I think it's something that all of you have touched on. And I think there are studies to say that physical health is so closely connected to mental health. So what are some of the things we should be considering around physical health? And as employers, what can we do to support our staff with their physical health as well as their mental health?
Yeah, very important, Ben. And the mind and body are linked, okay? They're not two separate, complete entities. They communicate with each other on a, you know, minute second by minute second basis. So you can't sort of separate the two particularly, that they are very entwined. And of course, you know, mental health, if you're having challenges with mental health, that can affect your body, physical health in many ways. But one way, for example, if we're struggling, we often then maybe reach out for maladaptive behaviours that aren't very helpful, maybe eating the wrong food, maybe eating too much of it, maybe drinking too much. Or even if we're feeling sort of really sort of low and depressed, not moving around, just withdrawing, sitting still. And also stress, you know, which actually underlines basically the vast majority of mental health challenges. You know, affects our body in lots of different ways, you know, a myriad of ways in terms of digestion. We know about heart rate, blood pressure, risk of sort of heart disease, strokes, diabetes, obesity, loads of stuff. So what can we do? Well, the great thing is, because the mind and body are linked, your mind connects to your body connects to your mind, it's a two-way system. You can actually improve your mental health by doing something physical. The beauty of it. So for example, if you're feeling stressed, so you've got something going on in your personal life and you're feeling low and stressed and anxious, that's your brain sensing that something is wrong. It's telling you something's wrong. It's making changes in your body so you're aware of it. Okay, so it's telling you, look, hang on, my body's, I'm feeling something in my body, something's wrong. What you can do is then go, okay, well, actually, what I can cope with it actually is I can actually, if I do stuff in my body, I can actually reassure my brain that my body can go, actually, look, well, it's okay, we're moving around, we're doing stuff. It's not as bad as we think it is. I'm helping myself. And the brain gets the message that, oh, actually, okay, we're moving around. We're looking after ourselves. We're not sort of holed up or eating the wrong food, etc. Things aren't actually okay. So, you know, great things such as, you know, even just simple things like taking a walk every so often around the office or getting up, getting yourself a cup of tea, coffee, that sort of stuff. Standing desks are always quite good as well. Making sure you're standing. There's some great stats about standing actually, which reduces your blood pressure and improves your mental health. It's incredible. Things like that. And also, you know, don't forget the social connection of things as well. If you're in a supportive workplace, which is what workplaces should be, supportive, And I agree with 50-50, if you have to, own your own mental health, but we want the place to be supported too. You know, having that sort of camaraderie with people, having some peer support, having some peer conversations, that's a relational need that we often all need to we don't get met. That can release various hormones that will improve both our physical health and our mental health. So it's just about making sure you're not isolating, making sure you're moving. Moving is living. Very simple principle, but it is. And, you know, I mean, I've heard of some businesses, you know, they organise sort of activities or sort of sports days or something like that. Or we'll do, you know, encourage people to maybe go to a bonding club or a walking club after work or something. Or play five-a-side football or tennis or stuff. So all that sort of physical health is really important. And also, again, you know, actually, I've worked with people who, nutritionists, who will go into companies and they will say, look, actually, this is what you need to do for lunch. This is what you should be eating for lunch, so you're not getting that sleepy effect at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which you all had. You know, so actually, if you've got a canteen at work, you know, maybe work, look at the canteen and go, okay, what are we serving? What are we offering here? Maybe we should be encouraging, you know, healthier food and stuff. So there's loads of stuff you could do.
Amazing. No, really, really good idea. What's your take on this, Ian?
Well, I was going to jump in and just say I couldn't agree more with everything that that Tom's just said. And actually, the place I used to work at prior to mine dealt with food in the workplace. So completely and utterly agree. There is a direct link between diet and mental health as well. But the bits, just going back to the physical activity piece, I was just thinking, so mine, there's 200 of us staff at Oxfordshire Mines. So we're a pretty big organisation. And as part of the senior management, we talk quite often about emulating those right behaviours, those good behaviours, especially where you've got a diffuse workforce who are based all across the county, working from home, spend time on teams. Quite often, I will unashamedly do my lunchtime run because I'm a runner and sit there sweating at the meeting in my running kit still, internally, normally not external meetings. And just kind of not doing it on purpose, but just kind of go, look, sorry, everyone, I'm here, I'm present, but I've had my run, I needed my time out, and just emulating that behavior. Because it then, if you're a senior leader in an organization, it sets the tone of, it's good to do it, it is fine to do it, and if I do it, it gives you carte blanche to do it as well, sort of thing. But then also for us as a charity, one of the areas that we do huge amounts of fundraising is with activities like the Oxford Half and our Mental Health Fun Run, where we are really encouraging people to get physically active because the direct link to mental health is inextricable. So we're, this year in particular, we're super excited. We've got well over 120 runners, 130 runners for the Oxford Half already, really early days. But we want to really show people that there is that direct connection, and then it can be fun. Physical activity is fun, then you can have fun and enjoy doing it as well. It's not just about all the pain. So. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Amazing. No, really good insight. Camilla, I'm going to compliment you here publicly. One of the things that I think you're so good at on LinkedIn is showing that vulnerability and showing that authentic side. And I think that one of the things that we see so often in the world of work, a plug of me being a recruiter here, is that people like role models, don't they? They look up to the business owner, they look up to the senior management team. And I think that sometimes there's a little bit of a stigma and a myth that as leaders, we always need to be strong. We always need to be have our best foot first. But that's not true. So how do a much better job of me explaining some of the things you share on social media? And then, but also giving that insight to business leaders about how to show that vulnerability and show how to show that really authentic self and how that can impact the team that report to them.
Straight away, yeah, vulnerability creates like a more human connection. So people all of a sudden see their unattainable, you know, potential role model in the distance as much closer and someone they can identify with. So if you've got a leader in a business sharing about his children's challenges with their own neurodiversity or his, or you've got someone talking about how they're really struggling having lost a pet or dealing with unwell parents or struggling with anything in life that's normal, straight away you're minimizing the distance between them and us within a workplace. And that's always really a really good move. I work hard to lead by example at 50-50 to the points that have been mentioned already around being open and living our values, for me, it's really important that as a founder-led business and as somebody who wants to get the face of what we do and really, I guess, destigmatize what is quite a stigmatized area still. We all have mental health, so I talk about it quite openly. I've actually recently gone on to TikTok and started playing around with that. And two of the biggest areas that seem to be really resonating with a younger audience, but not necessarily the Gen Z that we expect, like the demographics are looking at my posts are now between the ages of sort of like 25 and 35. And I would say that actually presenteeism and toxic workplaces are the biggest areas of interest in what I post. We've now attracted almost 12,000 followers in the last 4 months, and it's really beginning to get traction. So I talk a lot about burnout and burnout prevention, because stress over a chronic, you know, over a long period of time becomes chronic stress. And this is the problem that we have at work. So what we need to be seeing are the role modeled behaviors where people aren't working all the hours. They're not chasing up their team behind the scenes late at night. They're not taking a work plate. They're not eating at their desk or on a Zoom call. You know, all these small micro moments create large visual images of actually what should be done, even if it's unconscious. And actually, we need to take a conscious approach to this to shift the narrative.
I think that's a really, really interesting point that you make there, particularly in terms of that role model piece. I'm just keen to bring the others in on this topic, if okay. Can I come across to you, Dr. Tom Matthew?
Yeah, absolutely. No, chronic stress. I mean, first of all, just pick up on that. I mean, I talked a lot about the stress response, and you know, the stress response, we all have stress. It's good. We need stress in our lives on a very minimal level, and it can sometimes serve us, and it does serve us very well in certain situations. But the problem we're talking about really is chronic stress, which is sort of insidious. It's sort of just micro things that pick and tick over and tick over and tick over. I mean, it's that chronic stress response. The stress response is not meant to be in that mode. It's meant to be acute, or meant to be in a eustress place where we're just sort of getting on about stuff and doing things in a quite a sort of flow activity kind of way. It's the chronic stress that kills us. I mean, to be honest with you, it kills you. It increases risk of cancer, increases risk of heart attacks, increases risk of strokes, increases risk of dying in our 40s and our 50s, and when we're getting into retirement age, is often because of chronic stress. And so it is really important that we do address that. And another thing back when I said about values, talk about the workplace, the etymology of the word work in Greek, basically, well, Latin, I'm not sure what it is, but basically it means to produce something of value from within. Now, a lot of people are doing jobs where they probably don't think they're producing anything of value from within. They're there to do a certain role or whatever, and it's the means to an end. And there's nothing wrong with that, and we all have times in our life when we do that. I'm not expecting it to be black and white, but there needs to be a bit of balance. We need to be living, be able to express our lives, both personal and professional, because they do bleed into each other, and something that is called true to our values, where we can be or they differences. Can understand. If you're not being, one of the definitions of trauma is separation of self. Something so bad happens that you sort of separate from yourself. It takes you away from yourself. Now, if you are not living life by your values, what you're doing is continually separating yourself over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, and it might be big sort of micro traumas or little T's or whatever, but this stuff builds up. So you it's worth, and this is where the employer and the employee can both take responsibility. The employee can go, okay, look, what am I doing? What are my values? Let me find out my core values. Am I meeting these needs in my life? And if not, what can I do? And the employer can be like, hey guys, look, well, what are your values? Okay, so maybe this is working for you. Maybe this is working for you. What can we do to get the best out of you? Because that's what we want. We want you to come to work and have a supportive place. I want you to do well. We do well. You know, it's not you and I or us and them. It's trying to find a collaborative way forward.
Amazing. No, really, really, really good insight. We are coming to our final break. And to do that, let's go to you, Ian, now. Your chance for your song choice. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So I'm going to go for Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams. And there's a really specific reason for this. So outside of work, apart from running, my other hobby is theatre. So I act in Oxford. And this takes me back to the opener of the first play that I did post-pandemic that is just the best buzz feeling, and it just makes me grin every time I hear it.
This is the Business Brunch Podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. As well as being mental health experts, our three guests could maybe make it as DJs in the future. Some good song choices this morning. If you are just tuning in, we are talking all about mental health. It's Mental Health Awareness Week this week. And really, I think a point that Camilla made earlier, which I think is really keen to stress at this point, is we should be talking about mental health 52 weeks of the year, not just for one. But I think it's a really good opportunity to talk about health. And Camilla, I'm just going to come to you on this burnout piece, because I think that this is really, really important. I think that often, right from small business owners, I think that society teaches us that we must be the biggest business. It's not okay not to work really long hours. And then within the leader position, often we have got a lot of pressure to become number one, to become the biggest. So I think where the question I'm really keen to build on and gain your insight, and also our other guests, is really about how do you cope with it being okay not to be the biggest or the best or perceived the most successful? How can one go about dealing with that?
I think it's a real challenge, because it's just conditioning from the off, isn't it? And burnout has historically been worn as a badge of honor. If we go back to sort of the 90s, it would have been, oh, I'm so stressed. Oh yeah, me too, how are you? Oh, I'm so stressed, how stressed are you? And it was this little competition between people about how stressed they could be. Now it's like, oh, I'm so burnt out. Oh, me too, I am on the floor. And now it's a mini competition about burnout. Now burnout is not a badge of honor. True burnout, when you fall off the cliff, is horrific. It's just after being in a space of chronic stress for a long period of time, it can creep up on you, and it can have extreme medical situations. I'm sure there are much more qualified people in this room to talk about that than me. However, we need to be more aware of our limitations. We need to be more aware and okay to create boundaries that enable us to say, do you know what? I can't go any further. Now, often the pressure is doubly imposed. It's often from our work situation. So it could be deadlines, it could be what we're being asked to do by management, it could be what we need to do in order to fulfill the requirements of our job. But it's often also self-imposed. It's what we believe we should be doing. We must be working in this way in order to succeed. We must have this approach if we're going to have that big business or hit that revenue target. So often a little bit of, you know, of a mental shift and a reprogram of the mind can be really powerful, and really getting down to that values-based approach of what am I here for? What do I bring to the table? What am I good at? What do I enjoy? And then maybe thinking, how can I cleverly structure my day and my work tasks in a way that I get the most out of it? So some people work really well early in the morning. There's no point, therefore, them working, just trying to work just as well from 10 till 12 midnight. You know, it's kind of structuring your day and being okay with it is what we need to see. We need that flexibility and approach. I know not everybody has the benefit of that within the workplace, but if you're running your own business and you've got the opportunity to create those that flexibility for people, it's really worth thinking about how people manage their energy rather than how they manage their time. Time management is really not a relevant conversation to have. It's more about energy management. And I would also add to that that, you know, burnout stats are pretty scary at the moment. You know, 63% of people last year demonstrated at least one sign of burnout. Burnout is not a mental health condition. People think it is. Burnout is not a badge of honor and something to be branded around when we're overwhelmed or quite busy. That's not burnout. However, left unattended, long-term stress can tip you into a burnout state, and that's what we have to avoid. So this is where the prevention piece comes in, the awareness piece that needs to move to action needs to happen as well.
It's really, really interesting. I think what you said there, Camilla, is going to resonate with so many. I've personally, I don't mind sharing, you know, I've gone through phases of working 80, 90, 100 hour weeks to grow the business, to do the right thing for clients. And I think a point that was made on this radio show probably 50 shows ago is businesses should always put the business leader first. And it was really, it didn't sit naturally to me. Why would you put yourself before other people? But the answer was, if the business leader within a small business goes, actually, nobody then has a job. The business doesn't exist, which was a really interesting way of looking at that. Just coming across to yourself, Dr. Tom Matthew, what's your views on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so balance is what I'm going to say. So we're a homeostatic being. So what that means is homeostasis means staying within a certain level, okay, within a certain range. That's your blood pressure, your heart rate, your salt levels, your sugar levels, a myriad of a million chemicals that are going around the body, a nuanced, balanced range. That's what homeostasis is. The same is for our lives. If we are living a life that is not balanced, that is going out of range too much, then we're going to cause issues. We're going to cause problems for ourselves. And it is going to manifest itself often an underlying stress problem, which presents then as a generalized anxiety disorder or depression, or it can lead to the very physical, issues of burnout. So it's about balance. It doesn't have to be boom or bust. Our brains love black and white thinking. Our working memory can hold about 7 pieces of information at any one time. That's why we love black and white thinking. We love dark and black and white. We love evil and good. We love Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker. We love all that stuff because our brain can process it. It's really simple. but it's about balance. It's about trying to find what is the right balance you at home and in work and in getting your various needs met. It's not all about how much money I can make. If that's your only focus or how many hours I can work, that's just almost basically, it's slightly more productive than being an alcoholic, but actually it's probably going to have a similar sort of effect on your mental health and your relationships with others. We need a balanced life. And just to go back to your point, Ben, about, yeah, you know, being the leader and as Ian said, actually, you know, going for a run at lunchtime. I love that. Leading from the top is very important. And it's the old adage, isn't it? You know, when you're in the plane and the lady is talking about, you know, what happens when the oxygen mask falls down. They always say, well, put yours on first before you put your child's on. Well, hang on a second. No, I want to put my child's on because that's the most important thing. No. Because if you drop unconscious, you can't help your child, can you? So actually, you need to put your own oxygen mask on. Yeah, leading from the front, but in a compassionate way, in an open way, just a human way, just be nice and kind and curious and looking after yourself. And then other people will see that, they'll take the lead as Ian and Camilla have talked about. So, just wanted to jump in and what my thoughts on that.
No, absolutely. And really, really good points. I can't believe how quickly time has gone and we're almost out of time. But one of the things that we like to do on this show, and Ian will remember from his previous visit, is we really like to leave a closing note, a top tip, maybe something I've not asked already, but actually probably a highlight in the notepad of one of the wonderful points you've made already. So I guess in a sentence, if that's okay, no pressure. Can we just leave a top tip with from each of our guests, with our listeners? So Ian, can I start with you? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. I've just been sitting here listening to the others talking, and as someone who is in a relatively large organisation in a senior management position with a team, the thing that I try and bring always is that authentic, slightly vulnerable, genuine position of who I am as a human being first. And as long as I can stick to that with my team and the organisation around my own mental health, then that kind of sets a tone. So I would encourage all leaders in organisations to try and do the same.
What a good point. Camilla, what about yourself? What's your ending note?
To really think about action over awareness and not tick a box. What can I do to equip my people with the skills to own their mental fitness and show up every day at their best? And how can I support my managers to create psychological safety so people can be vulnerable and authentic in the job?
Amazing. No, great advice. And last but not least, Dr. Tom Matthew.
Again, what I started before, more control. Sometimes you just need to go back to the start and figure it out, and we can work, move our well-being forward. I want to keep a quote from a German philosopher called Eckhart Tolle, who did The Power of Now. He said, the key to life is to die before you die. And what he means by that is actually sometimes reevaluate your life, let go of things that are holding you back, And you can be well, you can have a life that you want, and you can thrive.
Amazing. What a great point to end the show. But unfortunately, we have run out of time. But thank you so much to our three guests on the Business Brunch here on Get Radio today. We've been joined by Dr. Tom Matthew of Mind, Body and Emotional Wellness, Camilla Rogers of 50-50, and Ian Nutt of Oxfordshire Mind. Just a reminder, it is Mental Health Awareness Week. So please, please, please really listen to this show and think about what can you do for your own health? What can you do within the organisation? And what can you do for the people around you? We are going to be back next week with a brand new topic impacting on local businesses. And just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version which is released on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format so you can see my lovely guests, which is posted on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But until then, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire this Sunday, enjoy and please do look after yourself and the people around you. And we'll see you next week.